Hello everyone, today I have a super special episode. Usually I talk about neurodiversity, but I've been talking to teachers. I am a teacher myself, and like it or not, I've been in a situation that I did not like because I did not have a contract. And unfortunately, I had to learn the hard way what to do to protect myself. So today, my special guest is Renata Idiom-Kucharska. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation. I am above and beyond the moon. So thank you for coming.
Thanks, Anya, for having me. It's lovely to be here. And also, just like you said, I also had to learn things the hard way. So I say it from experience, unfortunately.
Can you tell me about your freelance journey? Because you have come such a long way from a freelancer to teacher mentor, product designer, creator, ebook writer, course designer. So can you just tell us a little bit, what was your journey?
No, when you put it like this, I must admit, I'm impressed with myself.
You should be.
Okay, thanks. But the first thing I would like to say is I used to be a teacher in a state school, in state schools. Many levels from the first one, nursery school, then kindergarten, and so on. I didn't teach at university because when I stopped teaching, I reached the level of secondary school. So, and technical secondary. And in 2019, I decided to quit the safe environment of a state school. And I started my own language studio, which is Idiom. It's called Idiom. And that was the beginning of my journey. After 6 months into freelancing, COVID came and we started having problems. We went to lockdowns and we started teaching online. You know, it was not what we see online or with what we do online today. It was like by trial and error, right?
Yeah.
But we learned a lot and I learned a lot. So going full time online this year was definitely something that I partly knew. So I became a freelancer. And then, you know, because I'm a trusting person, maybe not naive, but very trusting.
You have a hat on your plate, like a teacher.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was willing to help. I was willing to be of assistance. So whenever people came, I was ready to help. I was ready to teach. Money and business was never on my mind, really. I was there to teach.
Yeah.
So, you know, not having the bad experiences with clients who don't pay, I didn't prepare a contract. So, you know, it was great. I taught. But then when I had some financial problems, I started thinking. So the first year I had some problems also because of COVID. Some people resigned, lying that they have no internet access, which was not true because they had, and, you know, any excuse was good. However, the next year I had a contract, which I tried to compile myself, and it wasn't perfect. So year number two was also a year of making adjustments, corrections, and so on. And then the third year, I started noticing which things I need to adjust, which things in the contract I have to change, and how I have to present the contract before the actual signing with the client. Because as you probably know, people usually remember and hear what they want to hear and remember. Just to be on the safe side, you just need to read the contract with them, highlight all the things you think are crucial, just to be sure that you did all you could.
Yeah, definitely.
So, right now, as you said, I've come a long way. It's been 2 years, I think, that my job and my development just kicked off like a rocket somehow.
Exactly. So, can you tell me a little bit about mentoring? Because I think that you are talking, you are preaching and teaching about things that every teacher should know. And when I read through the forums, you know, people always complain about the contracts, about the wages. How to talk to students, how to set the boundaries. Can you tell me about your mentoring? Because I think it is very, very important. I saw your webinars and they are amazing. And it's like, I would say, meat. Like,
everything
a teacher should know, like a golden standard, like apart from the teacher education that we receive, we should be taught this thing. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they are not in the curricula.
Oh, maybe they will be. Let's hope, because from the business side, nobody prepares us really. We have to work with people, which is really difficult. It's so hard. So because I experienced the hardships of working with people, with clients, different clients. And when I, you know, when I see young teachers, but not only young with age, I mean, some of them are my age, but they just start right now. They don't have to go through that. They don't have to suffer from nervous breakdowns or be in dire straits because of the non-paying, you know, clients. So because I know it. And I did something about it and it worked. I think sharing my experience without any meta language, without the business terms, just talking the way it should be done, like a friend, like an older colleague, more experienced. I think that was something that I wanted to do. And actually, it started with answering some questions on forums and in groups. And there were so many of them, the same situations. Not only with people who don't pay, but people who comment on your rates, people who don't show up, people who cancel the lesson 2 minutes before it should start, and you know, so on and so forth. Some clients, and I mean parents usually, dictating the teacher what they want them to do and how they want them to do it. You know, all those nonsense situations. I think there is a cure for them. And that's what I want to tell young teachers or new teachers or new freelancers who would like to work well, who would like to be prepared, who would like to create sort of best possible conditions for work, which will result in better work and better results for the student.
Exactly. A friend of mine mentioned some time ago that when we go to a dentist, or if we have to meet up with a lawyer, or we have to go to public notary, or we have like talk to architect, whoever, we do not discuss the rates. We either take it or we leave it. We look for someone else, but we don't have those discussions. Oh, but my precious John, oh, he really loves you as a teacher. You know, these are the conversations that teachers often have to hear. So do you agree with me that all teachers need sound advice and learn the cogs of being a business person rather than just being the giver and the deliver person?
Yes, I think this is the point where if we want to be freelancers, if we want to have our own schools, or if we want to be successful and also financially, we must think about the business. You know, it's nothing personal. You don't have to be rude when you inform the parent that you know your ropes. Yeah. Come on. It's just being honest, being polite, and just showing the person. You don't have to explain yourself. You, if the parent, for example, can explain which are the difficulties or what goals the kid has or the parent has, that's fine. But the methods, leave that to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, being polite, but being firm and being professional. That's the first thing I emphasize every time. We have to be professional for our own sakes and for the sake of our business. Because if they see us as people who have students, I don't know, teach students by the kitchen table.
Yes.
You know, somehow after hours, it's not something that will make us look more professional.
Exactly. And I think you've touched upon a very important point, being professional, because when we know you've been there, I've been there too, we read forums, we exist in that teacher bubble, let's say, and not a day goes by when I log into Facebook, for example, and I see, I'm teaching English or German or French or whatever language, and I take, for example, 50 PLN, which would be like peanuts. It is peanuts in that in Polish families.
Everywhere, seriously.
Yeah. And those people do not usually pay taxes. They do not set up, they do not have the invoicing system. It's just like, you know, a hush money on the side, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's it. So if we want to be in the business, we need to do business.
Yeah.
So one thing is your work and that you teach, but another side of being freelancer, you have to be a business person.
Exactly.
So that's for sure. And if you go to any professional, if you go to the mentioned dentist or lawyer or whoever, and you see them receiving you in an office, wearing all the right clothes, speaking the way they should speak, you know that they are professional.
Yes.
And imagine if you go to a lawyer or a notary and he tells you, okay, come over to my house, and he receives you in the bathroom or in the, I don't know, in the kitchen. And he says, okay, just, you know, pull the salt over there, push it somewhere, or, and we will sign the contract here on the dirty table. No, no way. So professional is the thing we must be if we want to be seen as professionals. And it will definitely bring fruit. Because for one thing, we will have to be, keep up the standards.
Yes.
Which we set. So we have to think what we want, really, how we want to work. Then we present it to the client and we stick to it. And it's really helpful because we have to organize our own world first before we inform the client.
Yes. What do you think about the contracts? Like some people say that, oh, people will, they will simply you know, fade away if they see the contract. But I say, those people who do choose not to work with you because of the contract are people who are unreliable and definitely not a good client and not a good match. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. And that's why I have contracts. Oh, my God, the storm is awful. Wait a sec. I need to just...
No worries.
Okay. So... I used to have only students for example, 6 months course or 10 months course. So contracts were always there, 100%. Right now I diversified a little because the market is changing. So I don't have contracts for everyone, but there are always terms and conditions, always. Mm-hmm. So contract was always important to me for many reasons. For example, usually in Poland, we start looking for clients and clients start looking for teachers and groups and language schools. I think in the middle of August or the beginning of September.
Yeah.
Then late October, everything slows down considerably.
Yes.
It's really hard to find clients because nobody's looking because everybody has already found what they were looking for. So if somebody signs the contract for example, a month and then doesn't prolong it, I have a problem. And, you know, some people say, okay, but people don't want to commit themselves. Well, so then these people will not be my clients because I need to know how much money I'm going to make. I want to have steady income. It's possible even when you're a freelancer, but you have to be aware of it yourself. So it's not like clients will now govern and rule my life. If people agree to take money after the lesson, it's their choice.
Yeah.
Maybe they have wealthy families. Maybe they have, I don't know, a husband who earns a lot, or they have their original position in a company and they just have some additional money. But for me, that's my only source of, I mean, not only source of income, but main. And I also think if you want to learn the language, how can you not commit?
Thank you. You have touched upon such an important point. And I find it so triggering when people come and say, I have to pass that exam. And you have 2 months. Or, you know, there is an ad saying, oh, you learn English in 3 months or any language, because regardless of the language, like 3 months or 6 months, it doesn't cut it.
And sure.
Don't you think that that kind of advertising is doing not only teachers, but also mostly students, a huge and massive disservice.
Yes, I think it's harmful, and I think it's a lie, because all it's the same with learning from short videos. You can learn a lot of interesting things. Seriously, I love watching shorts and TikToks and so on, but you will never learn a language because it takes a teacher to collect all of those little pieces and you to put them into a language. So it's not, well, I mean, so there are people who learn on their own, fine.
Yeah.
But they are very few, really. And it takes a teacher, it takes time, and the student's perseverance and determination. So it can't be that they will come and every month they would prolong the contract. Or they will tell me 3 months earlier that they want to have lessons in 3 months with me and for me to save the spot for them.
Exactly.
If they want me to save the spot, they can choose, of course, even the hour and the day, but they have to pay for it. It's just normal. Otherwise, how can I do it? How can I reserve, even if you will go to the cinema and reserve a ticket?
Yeah.
You have to buy it.
But it's funny, you know, because I think that especially teachers, and I find it very triggering, especially teachers are treated like sometimes a nanny, sometimes a shoulder to cry on. Like I once said that some students...
Somebody to blame.
Exactly. That sometimes students treat us as therapists, but we are cheaper.
Generally.
Yeah. So you have a little bit of a chit chat and then you can complain and you cannot show up because, well, you know, I could not.
Yeah. Or I had a bad day.
Exactly.
Or, oh, I forgot. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Do I have to pay for this lesson? Seriously.
My favorite. That's my favorite. And that brings me to another point, because I know that you are a material creator. And I think that for, especially for teachers, having your own materials, having your own roster of stuff that you prepare in anyways, because you prepare your courses, you prepare your classes, so you are producing, and you actually have produced a wealth of materials that teachers can use if you are strapped for time. And we often don't have a lot of time. We don't have the time to go through every topic in the world because they have 24 hours, not 158, let's say, right? And you have lots of materials. You have that ebook, Holiday Abroad, and you have the course, Holiday Abroad, as far as I remember. And you have those bronze cards, right? The conversation cards.
Yeah, 5 seconds.
Can you tell me more about those?
Okay, so it all started because my students, when I taught offline, they loved games, and I love games as well. I love all kinds of matching games, card games, you know, board games. And because I couldn't find what I was looking for, I decided to start creating my own materials. And then somehow I realized that I had so many of them. And my sister also uses my materials. We share because she also creates some. So I decided to set up a shop, and I did. And now the materials are available not only for teachers, because some of the, like the Holiday Abroad ebooks, they are also self-study books. So the whole course is, it's like those ebooks are companions for the course. They are materials for my students, and they were created and tested with my students. So they are, they received very positive feedback from, I think, 11 adults who checked, who have already tried and succeeded. So that's something unbelievable, you know, that even if you don't find the things that you need, you may create them or find them online. And actually, I'm really proud of the shop and of the materials I make, because I never, you know, I'm not a fan of worksheets when you have to fill the gaps. There are so many of them and I just hate them. So I usually don't make such materials. Usually they're games or some matching stuff. Or for example, there is a material for teaching containers, food, and countable and uncountable, which is I love it because you can print them, laminate them, and if you stick a magnet to the back, yeah, you can use those things on the board, you can use them on the desks, on the, I don't know, if you want your students to go out, you can play with them outside. So they're pretty universal, really. And yeah, a lot of at the ages of 5 and 6, the story about the frog and some other materials, and the story will have more parts up to, you know, adult students, my students right now, because I teach adults, but even though I don't teach kids, I create materials for kids because it just relaxes me. And I love seeing my son testing them. So if he thinks this will be good, I put it on into the shop and it's available. And if my son doesn't like and thinks that's boring, then I just delete it.
So all the materials will be linked in the episode description. So worry not. I highly invite you to browse for Renata's materials and buy them. And the webinars, I would say you've got to have them. It is absolutely a must, because otherwise, well, you'll be in the same circle or scenario of just repeating those old mistakes. And if I could ask one question, one advice for a teacher who just, for example, regardless whether it's a novice teacher or experienced teacher, start going on their own, starting solo. So you don't have that cushion that, let's say, back or someone or a business or a job you can fall back on, a partner. One advice, what a teacher should start with?
Create your dream workspace. I would start from that. Because not only creating it physically, but the regulation, the rules that you want to be followed. When you know what you want to, how you want to work, and you explain it to your client, you will have great clients, wonderful work, because you won't be pushed. Yeah. If somebody, if somebody accepts your rules, your game, your turf, your rules, right?
Yeah.
So it's wonderful. It's so much easier.
It's liberating. I would say it's even liberating, because you set your boundaries.
Yes.
And I think
if you start solo without being an employee, why would someone dictate you how you have to work? Isn't that why you went solo or freelance
I think that's such a nice sentence, because we go solo, so we set on our own rules, so we can't or we shouldn't have students telling us do this, do that. I remember that analogy with the dentist when I think you just brought that analogy, and I love it, because I think it just encompasses everything. Mm-hmm. What's you wrong about choose. Not having boundaries?
You can choose your dentist, you could choose your OBGYN, whatever. Yeah. You don't like this one. So, you know, it's like people are different, teachers are different. Some people like the way I work and some don't. So they are free to go somewhere to somebody else. You know, working with another person is a hard work for the teacher, but also for the student. If there is no connection, if there's no chemistry between the two, or the teacher and the group, there is no point in continuing. So look for a teacher who will be perfect for you. He or she is out there, I'm sure. But if it's not me, let's not pretend I'm the perfect person. And, you know, it's also like being in a relationship with someone you want to change.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Exactly.
So it's the same thing here.
Exactly. Thank you so much. So thank you so much for talking to me. It's been such a pleasure. All the materials, webinars, the link to Renata's store, her socials, will be linked in the show notes. So dive in and just choose something. There's a wealth of materials, and you can just pick and choose whatever you like, from children's to adult teacher training. So thank you so much for being my guest. It's been a really pleasure.
Thank you, Anya. It's been a pleasure for me as well. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Jette, thank you so much.